Howdy, everyone. My name is John Pittman, and this is The Real Rewind, where we take a look back at some of our favorite movies growing up. And on this first season of The Real Rewind, we have been watching Disney classics and comparing them with their respected remakes. Now, I have been doing the movies in order the classic have been released theatrically, which would have made today's episode the first in this series. However, the remake to this movie was just released a month ago. So this episode is going to be a little special because not only are we comparing the two, but it will also technically be a review of the new movie. Today, we're going to be looking at Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Now, what is there to say about Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs that isn't already publicly known? It was Disney's first feature-length film. It was the world's first full-length animated feature film. And as much as it bankrupted the Disney Animation Studios, he made up for it. It was considered a mass success. Not only was Walt Disney inspired by the Grimm fairy tale, but there's also the silent film Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, where Disney pulled a lot of inspiration from. So it was already a silent film, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, and Disney remade it into an animated film. So like I said in the first episode of The Real Rewind, Disney remaking movies is nothing new, and it goes all the way back to Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. And going back to the Pinocchio episode, what I said about Disney and the characters. There's the original source material and what the character does in that story, and then there's Disney's character and what she does or what they do in their respective story. So this episode is not going to focus on Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, the silent film, or the comparison between the original Grimm fairy tale and Disney's movie. We're comparing Disney's movie with Disney's remake. Back in 1937, making Snow White and Seven Dwarfs a feature-length animated film was a huge risk for Disney. Not only has this never been done before, but Disney's also known for his Silly Symphonies and Mickey Mouse, and Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs is not going to be any of those. Sure, it's going to have songs and it's going to be musical, but it's not going to feature Mickey Mouse or Minnie Mouse or Donald Duck or any character from a Silly Symphony. He's branching out to stuff that he normally doesn't do. There are tons of documentaries and tons of stories on the things that Disney did to make Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. And if you live in the San Francisco Bay Area like I do, you can go to the Walt Disney History Museum, where there's a whole section dedicated to Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Just a couple things I thought would be interesting to share with you is that as a motivation for the animators to continue working on this full-length feature film, Disney offered $5 for a gag the animators would put into the movie that wasn't in the original script. For example, when the dwarves are seeing Snow White in the bedroom and they pop their head up and their nose pops up one at a time, that's a gag that earned the respected animator $5 extra. A joke that Walt absolutely loved was during the hi-ho sequence. When all the dwarves are in line and they're walking home, you see Dopey in the rear, and he does a little hitch step to try and be in unison with the dwarf steps. Hi-ho, hi-ho, it's home from Earth. Disney loved that so much, he had that animator included in every single scene you see Dopey marching with the dwarves in. One other thing I thought was very interesting was that the animators had a little side bet going on. See, like I said, Disney was known for his silly symphonies, humor, comedy, lighthearted stuff, that the animators were not sure if they can get an audience to cry over a cartoon. So when the movie was first released and Snow White is laying in bed and all the dwarves are around sobbing, the whole audience was in tears, said the respected animator, and a lot of bets were lost between animators that day. Now, what I normally do in these reviews is I give you a brief breakdown of the movie, and then we start comparing and contrasting between the remake. However, because the remake just came out, I want to do something a little different with this Snow White episode. See, the remake has a lot of controversy behind it, not only with the press, not only with how it was written and the casting, and just all sorts of things going on with the remake that I want to debunk some things that have been said about the classic going into the remake. And maybe along the way, we'll debunk a bunch of other Disney princess stereotypes. So let's take a look at some of the things that Rachel Ziegler, the actress who plays Snow White in the remake, had to say about the 1937 classic Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
There's a big focus on her love story with a guy who literally stalks her.
Yeah.
Weird, weird.
Super
So we
weird.
didn't do that this time.
She claims that the prince is stalking Snow White. I'm going to assume she's saying that because the first time we see the prince in Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, he's riding his horse and hops the fence of the castle as he hears Snow White singing in the wishing well. Let's break this down a little bit. Snow White is a princess, correct? It would make sense for a prince to kind of be betrothed to a princess, and maybe Snow White is that princess. We see this happen again much later in Sleeping Beauty when Prince Philip is betrothed to Aurora. Sure, they fall in love in the woods and they don't know that they're already betrothed to each other, but at the same time, this royalty idea of having a prince marry a particular princess in an arranged marriage could be what's happening in this opening sequence of Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Another thing to think about is the movie is only 83 minutes long, okay? And the prince has a screen time of, I would say, about 5 minutes or so. Which means in 83 minutes, we need to tell the story of how the prince and Snow White fell in love. Snow White needs to have her journey. The queen needs to have her little victory. We all need to cry, and we need to have a happy ending at the end. One of the best ways to do that in a short amount of time is the old saying, love at first sight. Sure, Snow White is wishing for the one she loves to come find her, and the prince happens to be there. There we go, Disney magic, wish granted. With today's movies, I don't know what has changed, but when it comes to animated films or stories in general, we seem to have a longer attention span than 80 minutes. We can sit through 40 minutes of a movie and not get to the main point or to the main thing we want to see until it finally arrives and totally be okay with the movie. Like in the movie Transformers with Michael Bay, we have to wait 53 minutes in the movie for Optimus Prime to arrive. Now, if this was made in 1930s and the movie would say is 80 minutes long, we're already 53 minutes in, we're only getting 30 minutes or so of Transformers. But the main focus of Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs is not Snow White's love story. The main focus of Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs is Snow White. And not only that, but her journey takes her through the forest, running away and trying to survive from the evil queen and her wrath. She got lucky that the huntsman had a change of heart and couldn't kill her and sent her away in the forest. But at the same time, she knows that the queen is going to stop at nothing for Snow White to be dead. So the whole point of Snow White is survival, not longing for love or waiting to be saved by a prince, which brings us to the second thing that both Rachel Ziegler and Gal Gadot have said about the classic Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
She's not going to be saved by the prince.
She's not going to be saved by the prince, and she's not going to be dreaming about true love. She's dreaming about becoming the leader she knows she can be.
She's not going to be saved by some prince. Okay. Well, there's two songs that Snow White sings in Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs that kind of alleviate to this idea that princesses need a prince to be saved, or that's all the princess wants is for a prince to save her or love her. And of course, that's the first song we talked about, I'm Wishing, or One Song, and also the famous Someday My Prince Will Come. Now, let's try and take that song, Someday My Prince Will Come, and look at it in a different perspective. Snow White just ran away in the woods. She found this home, this cottage, and now these seven strangers, these seven dwarves, are taking her in and promising to look after her while she evades the queen. Snow White has had a very rough day, almost being killed by a huntsman and having to find this cottage. And yeah, she's lucky that these men are taking her in, but at the same time, what did she just do prior to that day or the day before? She met her prince. She met the love of her life. Love at first sight, remember? So not only is Snow White being stripped of her royalty, she's being stripped of her love, and maybe someday, in her hopes, in her dreams, she can have what she wanted for at the beginning of the movie, for a prince to come rescue her from a life of her dressed in rags, of a scullery maid. When she's a princess, and the queen, the evil queen, mind you, because she was so jealous of Snow White's beauty, dropped her down so many pegs that she is no longer considered a princess of the kingdom. Now, we'll talk more about that in the remake, but I just want to say the song, Someday My Prince Will Come, is an I want song. Much like Ariel sings Part of Your World, I want to be where the people are. I want to see them dancing. Someday my prince will come. I want my love to get me out of this situation that I'm in, that someone else has put me through. It's not so much she's waiting to be rescued. It's more so she wants to live a life where she doesn't have to live in fear. And to do that, maybe she feels more comfortable with the prince, whom she loves. Now, speaking of the songs, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs have some of the most memorable songs in a movie. Someday My Prince Will Come, Hi Ho, and Whistle While You Work. Who at one point in their life hasn't seen Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs that has either said, hi ho, hi ho, it's off to work I go, or just as they're doing work, make it a whistle. Now, not only are the songs memorable, but the animation of the characters are memorable. Take Snow White, for instance. Unlike the dwarves, where they have exaggerated noses and fingers and feet and their clothes, Snow White has no exaggerations. She's beautiful. She's like a Max Fleischer type animated style human, and she wears such brightly colored and very iconic dress, and we know it's Snow White from the moment we see her, and there's even such a love that the voice actress does,
Adriana Casalotti,
that we are just so, we want Snow White to survive. We want Snow White to win. We want Snow White to get her prince in the end. And we can't talk about Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs without talking about the dwarves themselves, okay? I love the dwarves. I could spend a whole podcast talking about each and every one of them and how they contribute to the story, but they're absolutely amazing. My mother's favorite dwarf is Dopey. Mine is Grumpy. I can relate to Sleepy, and Sneezy also has some of the best punchlines or just gags in the movie itself as well.
Boy, my nose, my hay fever. You know I can't stand it. I can't. Thanks. You gotta. I gotta. It's coming. Stop. Watch out. Thanks.
For Disney's first animated feature-length film, I would say that Disney played it safe. He chose a story that he was very familiar with. He chose a story that had a clear three acts in it. You have your princess, which is Snow White. You have your seven dwarves as your key characters. And you have a villain, which is the evil queen, which is great. And then you want to go expand from there and tell more deep stories. Then this next feature film, which is Pinocchio, deals with little wooden boy going off to Pleasure Island, the giant monstro sequence. You know, I would say Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, Walt Disney played it very safe with a lot of room to expand when it came time for future films. Now, I don't know where this started. Maybe it's just people watch movies or what they take away from. But this whole idea that a Disney princess is just waiting for a man to come save her, I don't believe is true at all. With Jasmine, she doesn't want to be saved by Aladdin. She actually wants to escape royalty. With Cinderella, which we'll be covering next time on The Real Rewind, we don't see that she wants to be saved by a man or by Prince. Rather, she's using the work that Lady Tremaine is putting her through as a way to kind of get her mind out of depression and have her focus on something so she doesn't get sad over the death of her parents. I could go on and on another podcast of debunking the situation, but the bottom line is, I don't believe that Snow White is waiting for a man to come rescue her, as I said before. I think Snow White does set the standard and the stereotype of a princess that can speak with animals, a princess that is loved by all, a princess that is very beautiful, has zero qualms or quirks or anything like that. I do believe that Snow White kind of sets that standard, and we can go from there. But in terms of characteristics, or in terms of having, she can't be on her own, I think that is completely not true and false, as we see in other stories, and as we will see in other movies going forward. Well, that'll do it for the 1937 Disney classic, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. I know I didn't give a review of the movie, rather than talking about some things about the movie that have been said going into the remake. Now, since the movie has only been out for about a month, I promise that this will be somewhat spoiler-free. I'm not going to reveal everything about the movie, but I will reveal some things that I liked, and I will reveal some minor changes and tweaks. Not big spoiler plot changes, just a little change here and there. With these minor changes, let's start off with the one that everyone seemed to notice first, the casting of Rachel Zegler as Snow White. In the 1937 classic, we hear the Magic Mirror describe Snow White.
Lips red as the rose, hair black as ebony, skin white as snow.
Well, Rachel Zegler is, her mother is from Colombian descent, so her skin ain't naturally pale white as if it were snow, as it were. So what they do in the movie is that they say that Snow White was named after the weather in which she was born into. It was snowing outside, so the king and queen decided to name their daughter Snow White. I don't consider that a spoiler because it's mentioned in the first 3 minutes of the movie, people. A couple other changes that I really liked. In the 1937 classic, we only mention an apple once, and it's a magic wishing apple that the evil queen uses to deceive Snow White. In the 2025 remake, apples are a really important part of the kingdom of which Snow White is living in. They have, like, apple pies, they do apple bake days. It's almost like an apple fest every day in the kingdom of which Snow White is living in. So, towards the end of the movie, apples are more correlation with Snow White's parents than they are being deceived and having a wish come true for Snow White. Another big change that I really like about the remake is that royalty has a meaning in Snow White. Before, she's just labeled as a princess, and we know the queen is a queen because she bosses the huntsmen around and she has authority on how she portrays herself in each scene, but Snow White is a victim of the evil queen's malice, and part of that is how she's a scullery maid, right? But she's just referenced as a princess. She's not really a princess of what exactly? What is she a princess of? In the remake, they expand on that. Snow White is a princess that's loved by the town. She mingles with the character. She mingles with the townsfolk. She knows them by name. They are always looking forward to Snow White being around. And being titled princess means something in this movie. And last but not least, we do have a love interest in Snow White. And even though Rachel Ziegler's on record for saying that she's not going to be sitting around waiting for a prince to rescue her, well, it wouldn't be a Snow White movie if Snow White didn't eat an apple and have a sleeping death scene and then be awakened by true love's first kiss. And that scene does happen, and it doesn't happen in like a sidestep way that other movies do, kind of like Maleficent or Enchanted, where it's not who you expect the true love's kiss to come from. It's the interest in Snow White that awakens Snow White. There's a lot more to the movie, which is why I'm not considering this a spoiler. This is just something that we all know happens in a Snow White film, story, whatever. So those are some of the changes that I really liked about Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Let's talk about some of the controversies behind the making of Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. First of all, we already talked about Rachel Ziegler being a Colombian descent and people having a problem with that. I personally did not have a problem with that. If you can play the part and it fits well with the story, go for it. What I mean by if it fits the story is if you're going to make a basketball movie about Michael Jordan, you're not going to cast Matt Damon as Michael Jordan because Matt Damon is white, right? You're not going to cast a white guy to play one of the greatest, most iconic basketball players ever. So if it fits the story, you can cast whoever you want as long as they do a decent enough job. Now, some of this thought process is going to roll over into the controversy behind the dwarfs. Disney is trying to be more inclusive with their storytelling and with their casting of certain people. We see that already with Snow White and Rachel Ziegler being cast. And again, which is totally fine. So what are some of the changes that Disney's going to be making to the dwarves? Well, some of the dwarves are going to be female. Some of the dwarves are going to be different races. Some of the dwarves are not going to be sneezing, or they're going to have the big quirks. But then again, if Disney's trying to hire a minority group, why don't they just find dwarfs or little people to play the dwarfs in the movie? Which is what Peter Dinklage came out and said about Snow White. And a lot of people hopped on that bandwagon and saying, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. In fact, statistically showing, little people are the minority group, or even more so than other groups that are being cast in movies nowadays. Disney, why don't you hire minority groups for this? So there was a rewrite that happened, and when they released the theatrical trailer, we saw the dwarves, but they were all CGI. And at first, my thought was, that was the step in the wrong direction. Instead of finding a minority group like little people or dwarves to play dwarves in your movie, you're now going to just have them be CGI characters? Ooh, not good. Well, then I saw the movie, and here's what happened. And I can actually get behind what they did with the Seven Dwarfs. Because you have the dwarves in the 1937 classic that are, as I said before, classic, iconic characters. When we see the dwarves on screen, we need to know that that dwarf is that particular dwarf. When Dopey makes an appearance, we need to sit back and go, without question, that's Dopey. Without question, that's Grumpy. That's Sleepy. That's Sneezy. That's Doc. That's Happy. That's Bashful. We need to know that they're all there. And one of the things that they did in 1937 that makes them memorable was having these big exaggerated features about them. These big noses, you know, these big droopy eyes for Sleepy, these big sneezes for Sneezy. And Dopey, who doesn't speak at all in the 1937 classic, is big ears, bald head, no beard. There's just everything about Dopey and the Seven Dwarfs, they need to be exaggerated in some way. Which I can get behind the CGI character dwarves in the remake. Again, we want to be able to recognize who they are instantly, and because they have these big features about them, these big exaggerated features, it makes sense to make the dwarves CGI. However, what Disney did do right is that the original Seven Dwarfs that they had cast before the rewrite, they kept them in the movie. They are no longer dwarves, but the actors that were playing the original dwarves are still in the movie, and they still have a big part in the movie. It's not that they were just written off because they're no longer playing the iconic Seven Dwarves. No, they are now the band of burglars that live outside of the kingdom, rebelling against the queen. They have a huge role in the movie, and it's not just the Seven Dwarves that we love. Even though they were originally going to play them, they are now bandits, and they rewrote it so well that I can forgive all the press that Disney did wrong with Snow White, with exception to some of the comments Rachel Ziegler said, of course. So now let's talk about the songs in the remake. We don't have Someday My Prince Will Come. However, we do have the song Waiting on a Wish. This is Snow White's new I Want song. I'm waiting on a wish. I'm waiting for things to get better. I'm waiting to fulfill the destiny that my dad said that I had for me as a princess. And now that my dad, who is king, is gone and this evil queen has taken over the land and has made Snow White down on the lower pedestal of royalty hierarchy or whatever, she's waiting for her wish to come true, waiting for her time to become the leader that she wants to be, which is exactly what Rachel Ziegler said the movie was going to be about. And it all hinges on this I Want song, Waiting on a Wish.
Waiting on a wish beneath a thousand treetops, and as a silver side top, I long to leave the walls behind me. Waiting on a wish, holding out for someday, hoping somehow, some way.
A great song, and Rachel Ziegler is such a talented singer that she blew me away with this song, Waiting on a Wish. Another song that's worth talking about is Whistle While You Work. If they took it and they put it into the movie, however, to me, the song wasn't really about whistling while you're working. In fact, if I were to compare this new song with another song, another Disney classic, this Whistle While You Work sounds more like A Spoonful of Sugar from Mary Poppins.
And as you sweep the floor, what used to be a bore will feel just like a game and not the same old chore it was before. Whistle while you work, you'll get it. When we're a team, the house will gleam, so whistle while you work. For a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. The medicine go down, medicine go down. Just a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down in a most delightful way.
But she's trying to get them out of their laziness, their slothiness, their habits, and trying to get them to whistle while they work. Another thing about the whistling is, to kind of give one little thing away, it's how Snow White and Dopey relate. Another song in the movie that had a lot of potential was All Is Fair. This is the Evil Queen's song. The song itself, on paper, with music, is great. The problem was you had Gal Gadot sing the song, and it didn't quite land well. Much like Tom Hanks singing in Pinocchio, this didn't quite land very well.
Captain, search the forest, find Snow White, and don't come back without her.
Now, I'm not saying that Gal Gadot was a terrible evil queen. A lot of reviews are saying she is, but then a lot of reviews aren't really understanding that she's playing a Disney villain And the complaints they have of her being too over the top for a Disney villain, well, yeah, Disney villains are supposed to be over the top so they're more memorable and so that we know, hey, they're the bad person. You know, this whole relating to evilness, you know, that's not really Disney. You know, Cruella de Vil, even this movie Cruella, there's not really a we are relating, oh, this is why they're the bad guy. Cruella, Emma Stone, she turns evil in that movie. You know, Maleficent, that is a different kind of, we'll talk about that movie when we come to the Sleeping Beauty remake, but that is, oh, where we want to feel bad for Maleficent. We want to empathize with her. So Maleficent in that movie isn't necessarily the villain. She's the hero of her own story. Snow White, Gal Gadot, the evil queen, is the villain. She's going to be over the top. So I'm going to give her a hall pass as her performance as the queen, but not so much her song, All Is Fair. Now, my favorite song in the whole movie is Princess Problems. It's sung by the love interest, Jonathan, to Snow White, and it's a duet between them. And I hum it a lot, and I think it is perfect for the message that people who speak against Disney princesses are saying, like, oh, they're only waiting for a man, or they're only, you know, they live in a life of luxury. I think the song Princess Problems is enough to kind of debunk all those accusations of the princesses. Oh, yeah, I'm not going to sing it, but just go listen to it. It's great. And lastly, to give a review of the Snow White remake, it expands on things that could be expanded on in the original movie. For instance, we get a better relationship of Snow White with her father and with her mother. We understand more of what Snow White is going through in terms of her inner turmoil, having to live with this woman that is completely jealous of Snow White for her looks and for being the fairest of all. And of course, the main point of the movie is that fairness, being the fairest one, is not just on the outside. It's not just skin deep. It goes more on your actions and things. That's something that's revealed at the end of the movie, but it's an ongoing theme that Disney has been putting out for quite some time. It's not what's on the outside. It's not the inside that counts. And again, like I said, they expand on things that I believe are appropriate to expand on. And especially when Snow White has that confrontation with the evil queen, that's when I think the overall big change that is supportive of the movie and the whole reason why the movie was remade, I believe, is to have that royalty be the center of attention. Snow White is a princess, and now she's going to stand up and be a leader, be a princess, be that woman that her father raised. We don't see that in the 1937 classic. In fact, we don't get any backstory between Snow White's relationship with her parents. We just have that book and that little prologue at the beginning. That's it. But again, the 1937 movie is an 83-minute movie, whereas the Snow White, it's an hour and 50. They got some room and they got some time to tell a story. They could tell a bigger story than what the original, and even what the original source material, the Grimm fairy tale, told. And that'll do it for Disney's 2025 remake of Snow White. Now, a lot of critics hate this movie. And as you can tell from my talking about it, I didn't loathe this film. I didn't hate this film. I actually found the movie to be quite enjoyable and fun if you kind of watch it as its own thing. If you watch Snow White, but you're constantly comparing it to the original classic, you're of course going to hate it because there's so many things fundamentally different about Snow White that, of course, it doesn't compare to the classic. Which begs the question, which one is better? The remake of Snow White. I believe Waiting on a Wish is an absolute brilliant, beautiful song and is a good replacement of Someday My Prince Will Come. I believe that the royalty aspect of the remake being the center focus is important because, like I said, we don't get any of that in the classic. You could even remove Princess, and Snow White is just Snow White. She's not necessarily a princess. There's nothing about her in the 1937 classic that says that she's a princess, except the fact that it's mentioned a couple times. The dwarves recognize her as the princess, but other than that, that's it. Whereas the remake really takes the time to tell that story, to expand on that, for Snow White to recognize that she is a princess, she does have royalty power, and she needs to use that if she's ever to escape the wrath or the menacing of the evil queen. Now, the 1937 classic, it's a classic. It's the first of its kind, the first animated feature film. And even though some people will say that it's dated, it's slow, it doesn't do a whole lot in terms of storytelling, you know, it's going to go down in history. It already is. Its longevity is cemented as Disney's first, not Disney's best, but definitely what got the Disney franchise up off the ground and rolling. There is a style of the animation. There is a style of the storytelling. There is the music that goes into a lot of Disney stuff going forward. And pretty much if you were able to take any Disney movie and compare it with the first one, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, you can see where there are similarities. Where, oh, the character now falls in love at this point. Oh, the character's now fearing for their life at this point. There's a clear Act 1, clear Act 2, clear Act 3. The storytelling is there in the Disney classic. So people may not like the 1937 Disney classic. They may say that it's aged. They may say that there's aspects about it like a prince stalking a princess, or the princess is helpless and is just waiting for the prince to come around and save her. None of which is true, which to me makes the 1937 Disney classic better than the remake. Again, the 1937 classic is the foundation. It's the cornerstone of Disney movies going forward. Snow White is a perfect princess to kind of take little things about her and tweak it, and then there you got a new princess. For instance, let's take Snow White and compare her to Aurora. They both can talk to animals. They both need to be awakened by true love's kiss. But there's certain things about Aurora that are very different than Snow White in terms of her boldness of wanting to say to her fairy godmothers, or the three fairies, no, I'm depressed. This is the reason why I want to come back tonight. I need to see this boy I just met. Okay, let's take Snow White and let's compare her to, let's say, Jasmine. Yeah, there's royalty. Jasmine talks to, well, Raja, but she doesn't talk to animals. She's very heartwarming. She's very loving. But Jasmine wants to escape the royalty aspect. She doesn't want her life planned for her. Whereas Snow White, we don't really see that in the classic. But if that's part of her aspect, then it's told through Jasmine. I could keep going on. But like I said, the remake doesn't really do much for Snow White or the story of Snow White, except it's telling its own variation of it. If you were to take this remake as a standalone movie, and maybe not even have it as Snow White, maybe just have it as a different princess altogether, a made-up princess that's original, maybe you got a great movie on your hands. But the trap is, it's Snow White. We are accustomed to a Snow White that's a classic. And even though Disney tried to put forward some good aspects and some good things that the new generation of women could look forward to in Snow White, as opposed to, I'm going to someday my prince will come, oh, I'm going to take charge as the variation, you know, I just think that the movie fell flat with what it was trying to do. I didn't hate the movie. Critics hate the remake of Snow White. I didn't. I actually enjoy this movie. But like I said, it just falls into this trap of it's Snow White, and there's a certain way, and it's Disney, and there's a certain way Disney Snow White needs to be told, and that was not the way to do it. Which brings me to the final question I ask in these Real Rewind reviews. Did the remake ruin our childhood? I would say that the remake is not ruining our childhood, but is changing our childhood. There are certain things about this Snow White that aren't in the original Snow White, but because it's a newer generation, and this is where I can partly agree with Rachel Zegler, it's not 1937 anymore. Stories are told differently. In fact, heroes have been told differently. We're getting more women heroes. We're getting less big, muscular men heroes like Sylvester Stallone or Arnold Schwarzenegger. Instead, we're getting the nerd can be the hero, or the unsuspecting hero in someone like Milo from Atlantis, or Stitch from Lilo and Stitch, the unsuspected hero, right? The reluctant hero, or someone like Rey from Star Wars. We're getting a whole new different mindset of stories and how stories are told and what they can do to change things so it can be adapted into this newer generation, that even though this remake of Snow White falls into that category, it's not remaking. However, it is changing our childhood, and it's doing its best to keep up with the times. Whether that's good or whether that's bad, I don't think that's been decided yet. I think stories are stories, and stories need to be told in however fits the narrative of that particular story. If it's a story like Rapunzel, where Rapunzel is literally waiting for someone to come rescue her, and then Disney steps in with a movie like Tangled and has Rapunzel do her own thing, right? That's a sign of the times. That's a sign of a story that's being changed from the original source material to fit modern times. So it may not be a bad thing. It may not be the best thing, as long as we keep reading or keep knowing that these different variations of the stories exist. You can track it either by this story is told this way or this story is told this way, so we can look back and see how far we've come and learn from those stories in the past. There's a reason why we don't talk about in Snow White the evil queen coming up three different times and rescuing Snow White three different times. Probably because that'll make it look more like Snow White is defenseless and she can only be rescued by a dwarf, a prince, or a huntsman. So what the question really is, what do you want to see in a story? And do you need it to be more progressive, or can you just relax with a classic like 1937 Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs and just enjoy the magic, the imagination, and be a kid again? Well, that does it for the Real Rewind of Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs and the 2025 remake of Snow White. Is there anything you agree with, anything you disagree with, anything I may have missed? Go ahead and leave it in the comments below. Otherwise, please do the trinity of clicks. Like the video, share the video, and subscribe to this channel so you don't miss out on another episode of The Real Rewind. Next time, we're going to be talking about Cinderella. Thanks again for watching, and we'll see you next time on The Real Rewind.